everyone, it's Liz, and welcome to my podcast, Liz Talks Tech, where I talk about all things tech, travel, and more. In this podcast, my goal is to connect with people from all over the world and have casual conversations about what we enjoy the most. So, let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Liz Talks Tech. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to my very first podcast episode. Your support truly means the world to me. And if you haven't already listened to episode 1, feel free to give it a listen to learn a little bit more about myself and my journey as a content creator. So, in honor of my 1-year anniversary of joining Instagram as a content creator, I wanted to answer some general questions about content creation. As you know, I've been doing this content creation for just about a year now. I posted my very first photo of my iPhone on January 28th, and you know, it took off from there. A couple months ago, I asked my Instagram followers, you know, what kind of questions do you have about content creation? And I got some responses, and that I kind of just want to go through these responses, or not responses, but these questions, and answer them from my perspective. So, as I mentioned in my first episode, one big thing that I want to do for this podcast is I want it to be sort of a resource for new content creators, at least when it comes to the episodes about content creation. I want it to be a resource for content creators, especially new ones, because when I was first starting out a year ago, I literally did not know what I was doing. And that's totally okay. Like, you just learn as you go. So I just felt like, you know, at the time of being a new content creator, I wished there was some sort of resource or some way for me to ask questions to, you know, figure out how to stay inspired, how to land brand collaborations, and, you know, how to grow your Instagram account or, you know, your quote, your own brand in general. You know, again, I'm no expert at this, but I definitely have been doing this for a year, and I just want to share my thoughts and answer questions from the perspective of a sort of newer content creator myself. So my first general question is, how do I manage my time? And also, do I schedule my content? Those sort of go hand in hand. And if you don't already know, in my full-time job, I'm a lawyer. I'm a new attorney. I just got barred actually January of last year. So I was, you know, becoming a new attorney and starting this content creation journey all at once. And it was really overwhelming, but also content creation and this tech community and this Instagram community was sort of my outlet and sort of my stress relief from managing my day job. So how do I manage my time? When it comes to managing my time, you know, since I work a full-time job, it's pretty much, you know, an 8:30 to 5 job. What I do is if I have time in the evenings, so, you know, around 7 or 8 p.m. after I've had dinner, maybe worked out, I pick up my camera and I start taking photos if that's sort of what I'm feeling. So I try really hard not to put too much pressure on myself to create content all the time. Because I think what happens is if you start to put this pressure on yourself, like you have something like the pressure of, oh, I got to post every day, or I need to have a perfect photo, then it sort of takes the fun out of content creation. And to be honest, I started feeling that way, you know, maybe like 4 to 5 months into my content creation journey. I started feeling like, oh my God, if I don't have a good photo, or if I don't have my photos lined up for the week, then I'm not going to be successful. I'm going to stop growing. And it felt like a lot of pressure on myself. And it almost started to take the fun out of content creation. So for my advice for new creators is, yes, you know, you want to stay consistent and you want to build your following and try to put out as much content as you can, but also within reason. You don't want to overwhelm yourself. You don't want it to be like you feel like it's another job, which, I mean, it could be, that's totally fine. But I think a lot of us join this community because it was sort of an outlet for us and it's something that we truly enjoy doing. So if you start to if you start to not like content creation, then that sort of defeats the purpose. So anyways, how do I manage my time? A lot of times I create content at night or on the weekends. For the most part, I create my content on weekends. So when it comes to Instagram posts and like taking photos, I like to bulk shoot. So what that means is, you know, I spend like 4 hours or however long I want just taking a bunch of photos from different aspects, whether it be, you know, iPhone cases, my desk setup, or different accessories. I really just take a bunch of different photos, try to change it up, and then from there, I decide, okay, which photos do I like out of this batch? And then that helps me plan my content for the week. So to answer the question about how do I schedule my content, I do it usually on the weekends. And then, you know, the night before I am getting ready to post a photo, I'll usually create a caption and then make sure it's all ready to go to post in the morning. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like a really crazy, mind-blowing answer, but the answer is, how do I manage my time? I do the stuff on the weekends. Now, I will, you know, have this caveat that I don't have, like, you know, kids or like a huge family or anything. I live with my partner, and, you know, we do like go to spin classes in the mornings on weekends. And then usually in the afternoons, like, we'll, you know, make lunch or go to the mall. And then the rest of the time, if I can, I'll create content. And so I think you have to find the balance between, you know, your family time or the time that you spend with the people that you love and the set aside time to create content. And I think it's going to vary for people, but it's definitely possible. I think over time you'll figure out, you know, maybe you only want to do 2 hours of content creation on the weekends, or, you know, maybe you want to do a little bit more. And I think it's helpful to have like a supportive person in your life who is, you know, constantly encouraging you, but also reminding you, hey, look, you know, content creation isn't absolutely everything, unless it's your full-time job, which is totally okay. But for many of us, content creation is not our full-time job. So it's important to have that reminder that although content creation is important, just remember that it's not your entire life, potentially, at least for me. It's not my entire life, and so I have to just balance my time accordingly. I'm sorry if that wasn't like a super helpful answer. I really, really think that it's trial and error. I mean, when I was first starting, I felt like I would spend literally all of Saturday and Sunday creating content. And then I began to realize I wasn't spending enough time like with my family or with my partner, or I was like glued to my phone when I was editing photos. And I didn't like that because yes, I want to be successful in content creation, but I also want to have a real life. So you really just have to find the balance. And I think, you know, after a year of doing this, I've finally started to manage my time better. And I think you'll just learn as you go. My next question is, you know, what is my process for creating content? And it's funny because I feel like this question is difficult because I don't have a set process for how I create content. I'll just be honest. I don't just like sit here. I don't like plan out my photos. With YouTube, that's different. I can talk about a little bit about my YouTube process, but for Instagram and for photos, for the most part, inspiration just will hit me. And I think that's what I love about content creation is I don't want it to feel like a lot of pressure to have to create stuff. I want inspiration to hit me. So what I'll do usually on a weekend, if I know that I want to create some content and have something for the upcoming week, I'll go into my office and I'll lay out some different products that I'm thinking that I want to take photos of, whether that be my iPhone, my AirPods, my HomePod mini, or whatever. And I'll start to sort of play around with, you know, the layout of where I want certain things, and then I'll start to set up my lights, and then, you know, move things around, set up my tripod and my camera. And then once I have sort of a layout of what I want to take a photo of, I get my camera set up, I make sure all the lighting is correct, and then I start snapping. But usually when I start snapping a photo or photos, it's not perfect. It's like a mess. And it just takes a lot of trial and error. So whether it be adjusting lights to make something brighter or adjusting positions of products because, you know, something doesn't look right, it's really just trial and error for me. And I think after a year of taking photos and, you know, learning how to use my camera and knowing what works in my own office space, after a year of doing all of this, it has gotten a little bit easier because I know what works and what doesn't work. So, for example, I know that, you know, a certain layout on my desk is not going to look as good as another layout. And again, it's just a learning process. But yeah, what I'll do is I'll take a bunch of photos, I'll mess around with the positions of different accessories and phones and with the lighting. And then, yeah, I'll move on. I'll move on to another set of products or something else, whatever like I'm interested in. Or, you know, if it's something that's for a brand collaboration, I'll set aside time to make that content specifically. But when it comes to just creating content for my own personal like passion, I really just love throwing things down and seeing what looks good and what doesn't look good, whether I add some plants or I, you know, add some different lighting and all that fun stuff. And I just think that, you know, just adding different things and changing it up is really important. And I think it's just something that you'll learn as you continue to create. And I remember when I was first starting out, I was by no means like a professional, and I still am not. I'm still constantly learning. But I remember Kevin Della Serna. He's another content creator on Instagram. He does a lot of good Photoshop tutorials. He said something in a caption. He said, "Do more, expect less." And I remember reading that, and I remember thinking, that's like the perfect motto to go by, because, you know, if I do more, if I create more content, I'm learning more, I'm figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And if I expect less, then it's like, it's not going to be so, like, I'm not going to be so bogged down by the numbers on Instagram or, you know, how many comments I get or whether it had good engagement. Like, I just expect to like it myself. As long as I like the photo, then that's what's important. And then, you know, if the content is great and gets good reactions from your audience, then that's awesome. And then you know that, hey, you know, that is something that worked for my audience, so maybe I can try something similar again. But I think if you go into content creation and you say, you know, yeah, I'm going to do more, I'm going to try to take more photos, but then you're expecting to get something more out of it, that can be, like, that's kind of a fine line, because then you don't want to, like, be disappointed and you don't want to overwhelm yourself. And again, for a lot of us, we joined because this is a passion of ours. And so, you know, I did more and I expected less. And then by doing that, I felt like I trusted myself more to try new things and to, you know, step outside of my comfort zone when it came to like different techniques for my product photography. And then it sort of paid off. So do more, expect less. That sort of was my motto as I started. And I think that was really helpful. Oh, and for my process for creating YouTube videos, for this is different. I don't just see a product and I don't just, you know, start videotaping it like I do with photography. With YouTube, I'm still very, very new at it. I feel like I barely know what I'm doing on YouTube. But the way that I plan is I have an idea and I get down my notes app. I literally don't use anything crazy. I just use the notes app from my iPhone and like on the Mac. And, you know, I write a title of like the topic. So, you know, I wanted to do an Apple leather link review. So I do my topic, and then I plan out my script first. So I decide what topics I want to hit. And then I write down, you know, like essentially a script, like what I want to say. But I try to be really careful about typing out like a full script. I try to just do bullet points, because if I do a full script and then I get on camera and I start to like try to rehearse the script, I feel like I get really caught up in my words, and then I get really frustrated because it's not exactly what I wrote down. So what I've found is it helps to just have bullet points of things that I want to talk about. And then it flows a little bit better. And it's still definitely a work in progress, and I'm still learning how to best, you know, film my A roll. But yeah, once I have, you know, my sort of script, then I put it in a little table on the notes app, and I decide, okay, what kind of video do I want to go along with the like features that I want to talk about or the things that I want to highlight. So then I'll, you know, write down like, oh, footage of, you know, the leather link, this color, or, you know, how it looks with the leather patina. And essentially it just helps to sort of be able to match up what I want to talk about with the footage that I'm going to take. And this is super helpful, because if you don't plan ahead, you know, you're going to just take a bunch of video footage of a bunch of random stuff, and you're going to think you have enough. But then when you go into edit, you're like, oh my God, I don't have enough B-roll of this product for this video. So to me, it's been helpful to have sort of a script and know what I want to talk about, and then go in and start filming. Because when I tried it the other way, when I tried creating YouTube videos by just starting with like taking footage of a certain product, I realized that when I started to do my voiceovers, I didn't have enough footage. And I was like, oh my God, I have to go back and, you know, film something. And then you got to figure out where it fits in the script, or like in your scripts, basically, if you write your script after. So that's my process for creating YouTube videos, which again is nothing special. I mean, I'm sure anybody who has watched like a productivity YouTube video knows that you have to plan ahead for YouTube, because if you don't, it's going to take you way more time to create that content. So planning ahead definitely will streamline the process. Cool. So now let me answer the question. What is the best way to approach brands? The million-dollar question for us content creators. I don't think there's a best way to approach brands. I think it's all about you as a content creator and your personality, and, you know, how you want to approach it. So for me, I have found that interacting and engaging with a brand's social media account has been a really good starting point. So what I mean by that is, you know, I like and comment on a brand's posts, or I respond to their stories, or something like that. But the one thing that I don't do is I don't spam the brand account, because that nobody wants somebody to spam them. And that's annoying. And also what's important, I think, is to be genuine. So I think, you know, if you're going to reply to a brand's photo, don't just do like, nice picture, you know, say something more, say something about why you like that brand's product. It's better to be a little bit more specific, so that, you know, the brand knows that you're not just trying to spam them and that you're actually interested in their product. So a lot of times that's a good way to approach brands, because then they've sort of seen your username, And then, you know, if you reach out to them later, they might, whoever's running the social media account might recognize your name and be like, oh, let me check out, take a look at their profile. And then that could help out. So I think once you've established sort of a, I don't even want to say a rapport with the brand, because by engaging, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're also interacting back with you. But I think once you have at least tried to engage with the brand, then you can shoot them a DM and maybe ask them if there is someone in their marketing department to email for collaborations. And, you know, what you want to do is you want to pinpoint how you can bring value to their brand. So I wouldn't just reach out to a brand and say, hey, do you want to collaborate with me? I can review your product. Great. 50 million people can review their product. So you have to think, why are they going to want you to review their product? What value will you bring? So for example, for me, I like to sort of say, hey, you know, for tech brands, I like to say, hey, I can bring, you know, a female perspective to your brand. Or I can say like, hey, I make pretty good reels that get some good traction and get people's attention, and I can market your product that way. So find out what you're good at and how you can bring value to their brand before trying to email and reach out to the brand. And another thing to have, or another thing that I think is important, and I think that helps establish yourself as a content creator, and it's not necessary, by no means is it necessary, because I had landed brand collaborations before I created this thing, but a media kit. So what is a media kit? A media kit is basically, it's your content creation resume. What it'll have is, for me, it has my name, my social media accounts, some statistics about my engagement and my successes with brands, with other brands. And then, of course, it has my rates on, you know, how much I charge for certain packages and things like that. So media kits are super important in the sense that I think a brand will take you just a little bit more seriously if they know that you value your own work and that you can bring value to them. So I felt like once I created my media kit and I was a little bit more established, that helped me land more brand collaborations. But you don't have to have one. I think it's good to. And I think it can only help you set your own goals and sort of figure out what kind of value you can bring to brands if you create this media kit on your own and you know, sort of synthesize everything, all of your successes, and, you know, whether that be like you showing some of your photos that you take, or maybe links to like reels or something. Well, not that I have links to my reels, but, you know, you sort of get the idea. And if you are interested in, you know, knowing what a media kit looks like, Canva has really good like templates for media kits. And also, if you want to DM me, I'm more than happy to share my media kit with you so that you can get an idea of what it looks like. But again, by no means do you have to absolutely have a media kit. I just think that it's helpful to show the brand that, you know, you're the real deal. Like, you take yourself seriously, so they should take you seriously. So that brings me to the next question. And this is actually the golden question. Not the best way to approach the brand, but it's, how do you transition from a brand's offer for a product exchange to a paid collaboration? So I'll just be honest. This is a tough question, because I actually, you know, I struggled with this myself, and I would say that I still struggle with this. And so there's not going to be an answer that fits everybody. I think everybody has to decide what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. So for me, now that I have been a little bit more established, I usually don't just take a product exchange from a brand. And the reason why, and I know I've talked about this before on a couple other people's podcasts, but I'll talk about it a little bit here. When when a brand offers you a product exchange and you say you're going to take photos for them and post it, they're essentially getting free advertising from you because you are spending the time to create these photos or these reels or whatever content you're creating. You're spending your hard-earned time, and time is valuable. You're spending your time doing that. And then you're posting it to your audience, and your audience, they trust you because that's why they follow you. And then now this brand gets free advertising. So, you know, my rule of thumb is if I really, really, really love the product and I would probably purchase it myself, I'm usually okay with doing a product exchange with some limitations. The reason why is if I think that the brand who's offering a product exchange, if I think that I can, you know, create a good relationship with them and then later turn that into, you know, something where I gain money, then that is great. But I do have limitations because I don't think a brand should be able to just take your photo and use it for their own advertising, like on their website or on their Instagram page, without any sort of compensation. So I usually try to request payment for like a licensing fee if a brand wants to use my photo for their own website or their social media accounts. But again, it's really up to you on what you're willing to do and what you're willing to offer up to brands. So that's sort of an introductory to my perspective on product exchanges. But if a brand reaches out to you first with just vague terms saying, hey, I have this product, do you want to collaborate with me? If a brand does that, what I'll usually do is either one, ask if they have a budget for this collaboration or this partnership, or two, I will say, you know, hey, thanks so much for reaching out. I think that I would be a great fit for your, or I feel like my audience would be a great fit for your product. And, you know, I would love to work with you. Please see my attached to media kit and rate sheets to see what kind of, you know, collaboration packages I have to offer. And that way they know right away, the brand knows right away that you're taking yourself seriously and you charge for your services. Because again, your time is valuable and time is money. So that's sort of how I would reach out if a brand DM'd me with vague terms and didn't really say specifically that they wanted product exchange, but they just said, hey, I want to collaborate with you. If they did that, I would definitely send over my media kit and ask for a budget. But if a brand explicitly says, hey, I want to work with you, we want to do a product exchange, we want, you know, you to review the product and exchange, you'll get the product. Okay, so what you get out of that is free product, but for them it doesn't really cost much to send you a free product, especially if it's like a cheap product. In that scenario, I usually again will say, here's my media kit, blah 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 blah. But if they come back and say, oh sorry, only product exchange, we don't have a budget for this, if they say that, I usually will decline the offer, because if I don't really love the product and I don't want it, then why am I going to waste my valuable time in doing that collaboration? But if I'm kind of interested in the product, like I mentioned before, I'll say, okay, I'll do this for the first time. I'll do a product exchange. But if you like my content and you want to use it for your own website, I'm going to charge you a licensing fee. And for a licensing fee, I mean, you can charge anything between like $50 per photo or $150. I don't know. It depends on your skill level and, you know, how you value your work. So that's sort of the answer to the question transitioning from product exchange to paid collaborations. I feel like you have a little bit more negotiating power when a brand reaches out to you first. And nowadays, brands are reaching out to content creators first, especially, you know, micro influencers who are people, you know, kind of like with under 10K or under 50K or maybe under 25K. I don't know the definition of micro influencer, but somebody who doesn't have 100K followers. A lot of brands want these micro influencers because they know that their audience trusts them. And they also know that micro influencers or people who are new to this, they're not going to charge for their services. And so a lot of brands will try to freeload off of that. And so, you know, what I want to do is sort of spread awareness about that and say like, hey, look, value your work, value your time, because you can make a little bit of money off after doing work for brands, for taking photos and for collaborating with them. That's sort of where I fall when it comes to product exchanges. I will say when I first started, I took free product. I'm guilty of it. I wanted free phone cases. I thought it was super cool. But, you know, how many phone cases do you really need? So yeah, if you have any questions about, you know, how you can transition from a product exchange to a paid collaboration, feel free to DM me. I don't have the answer to everything. And I'll be honest, like, I don't get paid for all of my collaborations. I definitely try to. I really do, because I think I have spent a lot of time and effort creating photos and creating content. And I think if a brand is going to use your content to make more money, I think it's important to charge them. That may be an unpopular opinion, but I think you definitely should. But I also understand that if you're a very, very new creator, it can be really, really intimidating. But also, don't let the brands take advantage of you. Because I felt like, I guess I never felt like I was taken advantage of, but looking back on it, maybe I shouldn't have just allowed a brand to use my photos to make more money for their own products. But we all have to build our resume. We have to start out with something. You know, I remember when I was on the Coffee with Creators podcast with Michael Soledad, he was like, you know what, go ahead, take that free product for the first time and just do it. Like, it'll help you build your brand, it build up your resume. And then once you get more comfortable, then you can start charging and really monetizing your content creation. That's sort of where I fall when it comes to product exchanges and paid collaborations. If you have any other questions about that specifically, we can talk about it a little bit more. Feel free to DM me or, you know, ask me again, and then maybe I could have another creator who has more knowledge about that to come on and we can talk about it together. And my last question that I have that I'll go through is, what are your tips for new YouTubers? So I'm still a new YouTuber. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But from one new YouTuber to another new YouTuber, I would say, as I said before, make sure to plan your videos. There's nothing worse than spending extra hours because you didn't plan your content properly. Like I said, I made my mistake when I was first starting out. I wasn't planning properly, and I just like tried to sit there and film a video without even having any sort of like script or notes. And it was a pain to edit. It was a pain to just like, it was mostly a pain to edit. And it was painful to even record because I felt like I kept messing up and I didn't know what I was doing. And I kept getting like sidetracked, sort of how I feel about this podcast. But I did have an outline for this one, but I'm kind of rambling. Anyways, definitely plan your content for YouTube. It'll help you get better. It'll help you set your goals too for what kind of content you want to put out. And then also, each time you film or edit a video, try something different or try something new. Just get better with each video that you release. I remember when I was first starting out with YouTube, one of the YouTubers, Mike Watt, he does a lot of desk setups and, you know, EDC stuff. He told me something along the lines of, you know, your first 50 videos, 50 to 100 videos are not going to be your best. But if you get better with each video, then that's all that matters. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, it's going to take me 50 to 100 videos to get better. And, you know, but it's true. I've only put out, I think, maybe 35 or 40 videos. And I still get better each time that I release a new video. I learn something new. It gets a little bit easier when it comes to editing. And, you know, you really just have to keep practicing, because just know that your first few videos, they're likely not going to go viral. As much as we would hope and pray that that happens, they're likely not going to go viral. They're likely not going to get a ton of views. But if you keep getting better, then eventually you will start to, you know, get more views, get more subscribers, and slowly grow your channel. So I know that there are some creators who have been really successful and have gotten a video that goes like kind of viral and gets a ton of views, which is great. Like, I'm praying for that to happen for me. But for the time being, I'm slowly growing. I have 700 subscribers. Wow, gosh, totally stumbling over my words. But 700 subscribers, and I started like in April. I think I posted my first video in April. But another thing I think for new YouTubers to remember is you have to put out content in order to continue growing and in order to improve your skills. So the one thing that I struggled with, and I think it's because I had a hard time balancing my time, was I felt like I wasn't growing my YouTube channel at first, but it was because I wasn't putting out content. So, you know, if you make it a goal to maybe put out one video a month or one video every 2 weeks, you're going to get better and you're going to get more traction on your account. There's going to be more ways for YouTubers or for your audience to find your videos. So that's just sort of my advice for new YouTubers. One other thing for new YouTubers that I think is important that I'm not 100% sure that I even follow, but I watch a YouTube channel called Think Media, and they talk about this all the time. But for new YouTubers, if you do this one thing, if you like answer a specific question for your YouTube video, then you're more likely to get views. So for example, like one of my videos that has done really well was, is the Apple leather link band worth it? You know, I'm answering a specific question that people in my niche would want to know about. So I think if you sort of hone in on a specific topic, that could be helpful for getting your content more out there. But again, I think it's trial and error. I think you just have to keep going. You have to do more, expect less, and, you know, go from there. And also one other thing for YouTubers, I think it's important to make content that you enjoy. Yes, it's important to make content that others will have value in, but if you don't enjoy it, ask yourself, why are you creating it? I don't think it's fun to create content that you don't enjoy. So just remember why you're doing it and that, you know, you should enjoy it. So I think that's all that I have for questions today. Thank you so much for listening. I kind of rambled on for a little bit. I don't even know how long this episode's going to be. I didn't think it was going to take me that long to go through those questions. So if you made it to the end of this podcast, I love you and you're awesome and I appreciate you. And if you didn't make it to the end, well, I guess you'll never hear this. So again, if you like this podcast, please be sure to like, subscribe, or share the podcast with someone who you think might like it too. It was great talking to you again, and I will talk to you all soon. Bye.